Welcome back to the Unanimous Decision Podcast. I am your host, D-Palm. Follow me on Twitter at D-Palm66. Follow the show on Twitter at UDPod. Follow the entire MTR Network at, you guessed it, the MTR Network. You found us, don't lose us. Subscribe on the iTunes Store. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts for absolutely free. When you found us, leave that five-star review on iTunes. It does us a great service. Lets people know you guys are actually out there listening. It lets me know that, you know, we're doing things the right way. And if you leave five stars and you write a letter or you write any of the notes or messages, I will read on the air. And as such, I have some catching up to do. We have three new five-star reviews. Thank you guys for leaving them. Again, iTunes, five-star reviews. Easy to leave. You can leave a message. You don't have to. But if you do, I will read it on the air. The first one is, you're missing out. From Say That Again, that's Karen from over at the Black IU Tiffs. D-Palm is honestly one of the best podcasters I've listened to. He's equal parts intelligent, introspective, hilarious, and pulls from a deep well of knowledge on all things discussed on the show. I can't recommend a podcast more highly. I'm printing that out and framing it. Other one, we have one from Pearl Poppy. This podcast is elite. Have a listen. You won't be disappointed. That is all short and sweet. And the last one is from Coming ST64. Thank you. Awesome podcast. I work in Afghanistan and Iraq, and your podcast, along with the MTR Network, is a joy. You guys are great, and your humor has kept my hands from going out at least one coworker's throat, so they may not know it, but he thanks you as well. Be easy. I really do appreciate the messages, the five stars. Thank you for letting me know someone is listening besides my parents. Thanks, Mom and Dad. And we're here. And normally this podcast records about noon on Sundays. Let me get my day started, get everything out of the way, and I can do other things. Well, the NBA this year, in their infinite wisdom, moved up free agency. And since it was announced, I've been bitching. I said, look, free agency was the time. You saw who the real NBA heads were, who stayed up till midnight to see who got traded when and where. I was wrong. This 6 o'clock thing is great because 6 o'clock is a suggestion, and things have been leaked since about 4 p.m. If we're talking NBA, we got to talk about the person who I routinely beat on our Over-Unders podcast, my homie Mike. What's up, Mike?
What it do, baby? I had to.
You had no choice. We will get to all the free agency comings and goings. I can't believe, like, this is some crazy shit, Mike. Like, this is nuts.
It's fantastic. This is the best.
Like, I'm not drinking coffee on June 30th. I'm just sitting here on a normal ass June 30th at 6 p.m. And Kevin Durant's like, we'll be announcing my decision at 6 p.m. 4:45. We're just like, that motherfucker's going to Brooklyn. I was like, all right, here we go. I guess everything's out of the bag.
Woj cleared out his entire drafts folder, just let loose everything.
It's so funny because even when it was at midnight, you'd wait to see who would fire the first shot. Who was the first one who's going to break the silence embargo? And then it would all just start happening. But now it's happening at dusk, which I thought I wouldn't like. I really enjoyed. But we're going to get into all the free agency psychosis. But this is UDPod. We talk about the world of sports. And we're going to start globally in a nation that I'm not going to make fun of most of this story, France, because the American women went to France. They played France in France to advance the World Cup, and they squashed them. My favorite headline is from Deadspin: purple-haired lesbian goddess flattens French team like crepes. And Mike, you and I have been very big, loud supporters of the young ladies over there. My God, Megan Rapinoe.
She is killing it. I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised how well she's been doing. I mean, she scored all of our goals in the elimination time.
Yep. So the two against Spain, I was nervous about because they were both soft penalties, and I couldn't figure out why she was shooting ahead of Alex Morgan.
Yeah.
That was part of that for me. But then, like, the France game, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why. Because Megan Rapinoe is a motherfucking star, and when the lights are on, she shines the brightest. Everyone's like, are you worried about the controversy? Meanwhile, she said that quote about not going to the fucking White House 6 months ago. So ask yourself, yeah, why.
She is unbothered.
I mean, well, of course she was. But you and I, we're athletes. You understand when outside people say, I don't pay attention. You obviously pay attention. You know the stakes when you're on the court. But for her to not just take it, but to devour it and use it to empower her to two more goals.
She is a professional. Like, she's good. She's fine. This was not a thing.
But I know I said I understand that, and I understand that intellectually. I'm just saying that even as a professional, because it's not just one idiot on the Twitter sphere. It's one idiot who happens to run a fucking country on the Twitter sphere who she's beefing with. Like, I will mute these people. Like, but, you know, it's headline news. I'm not saying that it's extraordinary. I'm not saying that it is I'm not shocked that she was able to put it out of her mind. I'm just impressed. Just because the stage is so big, the light is so big, and she just continues to do what she does and embarrass people.
Yeah, her celebrations were just like, I can handle it, bring it, I'm here, right here.
And wide shoulders, man, she hold it all. Captain America. That's Sam Wilson's good. Let's talk about Rapinoe. Let's have a conversation. Next game, Tuesday, against England. Supposed to be a lesser test than the French. Mike, what would it mean for you as a red-blooded American to beat the English again on the week of 4th of July and also 3 days before our new queen, Megan Rapinoe's birthday?
It would be the best. I mean, we got to get to that final. I'm happy go
what
through.
What time is the game on Tuesday?
I think it's like 3 o'clock or something like
gotta
that.
I've got to fit in a far-from-home viewing. Got to figure out my schedule here.
Ooh, that is a very good point.
That's a red, white, and blue for me. That's a red and blue for me that day. It's gonna be a big one.
Spidey might have to take a back seat.
We're gonna push forward, but we're gonna have that conversation later. Wow, that I didn't enjoy that one bit. Spidey taking the back seat. Yeah. So in the time that's since the last time we recorded, everything's on crazy in free agency. We're gonna talk NBA now, but Mike and I talk a lot. We're just one of the best friends in the world, and we G chat and text. We have a text chain. One of the topics this week was the worst NBA draft ever. This quote came across Twitter this week, and it's amazing to me. The 2000 NBA draft class collectively produced a rate of 17.3 wins worse than a group of average replacement players, making 2000 the only draft class to leave the NBA talent pool worse off than it had been prior to the rookie draft. Mathematically, that's amazing.
I mean, it's pretty impressive. It's very impressive. I mean, just looking at the players coming out that year, I understand.
No, it makes lots of sense. It's just also like, wow, this is when Kenyon Martin on a broken leg is your first overall pick. Yep. Things have gone horribly wrong. Horribly wrong. Darius Miles with a 3 pick. What are we doing?
Antenna's like, up, Daniel. Here. Antenna's up.
Jamal Crawford's on there. Jamal Crawford, he knew was a thing for a while. Jamal McGlure, Quinn Richardson, antennas up. Speedy Claxton mattered for a second.
Mark Madsen, don't forget him.
God, who could you? How could you? A lot of these Michigan State kids, Mateen Cleaves and Mo Pete, which is not a great sign.
Oh, I forgot about Mo Pete.
This is not a good draft. All those names I just read are first round draft picks, by the way. I want everyone to realize that. I'm not going that deep for this.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the second round, you start seeing some Eddie House is there in the second round. Michael Redd, second round. Yeah, there's some stuff here, but for it to be this bad at the top, man, this is a weak draft. Hopefully we've got some good things coming in this coming draft that just passed. We heard Enes Kanter this week say that. I think he said that Zion was just Julius Randle with hops. Let's also be really real about that. Julius Randle with hops is a pretty damn impressive thing to be.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, I mean, it seemed like much ado about nothing. I mean,
but does it feel like Enes Kanter's right and the rest of the world's wrong? Like maybe, I don't know. Like, is this something even worth entertaining? Because this isn't like the NBA of 2003 or 2002. You're not coming in as a rookie and dropping 25 a night off the rip. That's not going to happen now.
Yeah, but, I mean, don't we all acknowledge that Zion is freakishly athletic and has some ground to make up skill-wise?
Of course, but we also acknowledge that we've never seen his body type mixed with that athleticism. There's really no analog for what we think he might be. I think that's part of the appeal is that there's a lot of question marks. You can think of a reasonable comp for Ja or for RJ. I can't think of a reasonable comp for Zion. What, short LeBron James? I don't know what to tell you.
I'm gonna go short LeBron James from now on. Thank you for that.
I mean, he's shorter, he's rounder, but he's just as explosive and just as powerful. And he seems to have, like, when you watch him play, like, I remember the closeout block against Virginia. Like, there are moments of true basketball transcendence where you can see his mind doing calculations that the rest of the guys in the court haven't even started to think about yet.
Yeah, I mean. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how his game is when he first comes in. And, if it's not there, he's going to grow into it. Mm-hmm. You don't have this kind of, like, talent and athleticism and just kind of you know, flatline and don't do anything. Like, he'll be good.
Also, you know, kind of the things that have happened in the offseason for New Orleans. Let's be real. They've surrounded a very young core around him. It's not going to be a situation where he's being asked to save a city. So I think that's good, too. It looks like they've, when in hiring David Griffin and kind of clearing out that front office, kind of at the, you know, at the expense of the prior regime, the things that they brought in, like actual trainers, like people who are actually designed to work with basketball players, not football players. The fact that the Saints training staff was working on the Pelicans is still like, it's institutional malpractice. Go business, you've lost the franchise.
It's sports. It's fine. They can handle it.
But that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So before free agency opened, a lot of things were happening. A lot of things were known. So let's talk about some things that were known. Things that were known. Danny Ainge pretty much fucked up Boston irrevocably. And everyone's saying, oh, look, Kyrie did this, Kyrie did that. Kyrie left them in the lurch. Isn't the general manager's job to secure talent and to make talent want to stay? People say, Kyrie turned his back. Hey, man, if he went from, I'll be back if you'll have me, to fuck this place, I'm not even signing these charity basketballs in the span of one season. Yeah, Kyrie's a weirdo, but he's not a psychopath. There's some blame to be had. We've heard the reporting out of, from Jackie McMullen saying that a lot of the torsion on the team started with their desire to put Gordon Hayward in for big minutes when he probably physically wasn't ready yet.
And he's collecting that paycheck.
But I know you've got to validate the paycheck, but at a certain time, like, there comes a responsibility that must fall on the GM, who assembled a ton of assets but not a real team, and the coach, who I'm being told is a Hall of Fame coach but can't seem to manage talented players, which is kind of 85% of the job of the NBA. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
Is anything I said factually unfair to Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge?
No, not at all.
Okay, I just think it's interesting. I don't think it's interesting. I think it's naked and gross and fucking transparent that all these media outlets are out, are chomping at the bit to tell you what a problem Kawhi was. Or, goddamn, Kawhi's going to sue me. Like, silently sue me to, into the ground. Kyrie was. You have all the people just chomping at the bit to drop, oh, the stories I've told but I can't go on record with. Like, fuck you, Bill Simmons. Oops, that's a name.
Look, they got their narrative together. They have their scapegoat. They're going to riot this Kyrie.
But, like, we're here. Hey, you know how many you and me and Danny Ainge have in common? We've drafted the same number of All-Stars.
Wow. Well, you know, there's always next problem. Year, I guess.
That is shit. And that's, but that's the thing. Like, if you can spin this narrative, Danny Ainge could be collecting assets for the next 20 years. And the Celtics, because he's Danny Ainge, which should entail a lot of things, I'm not going to list them out here, they're going to give him these passes.
Look, Kyrie made it easy to be, you know, the villain.
Kyrie didn't do it. Kyrie defending the indefensible.
This flat earthness, you know, the way he's, you know, handled being a leader.
I'm not going to wait for a perfect victim, Mike. I take the facts of the case and they lie. There's not going to be a perfect prosecution, buddy. You take what you got. And this is my evidence. He ran off Kyrie. He ran off Al Horford, who's now found out he can't get the fourth year anywhere and might re-sign with Boston.
That's just awkward. That's awkward.
It's super awkward. But they also brought in Kimba Walker. And I've heard a lot of reasons why Kimba's quote-unquote a better fit and quote-unquote going to work better in the offense. Kimba Walker's usage rate rivaled Kyrie Irving's last year.
And isn't that the issue? You got all these young guys that are trying to get theirs and, like, improve themselves. And they want the ball.
It's almost like they have a bunch of assets with no plan, Mike. It's so crazy. Because for the assets to have value, you've got to play them and show what they can do. But you can't do that if you're paying Gordon Hayward and Kimba Walker this ridiculous sum of money. And Kimba Walker, by the way, I do believe is worth every dime he's getting. I think he's in a bad situation. And I think that we're going to find out pretty in short order that the problem wasn't necessarily Kyrie Irving being the weirdest human being alive.
But if their record is worse next year?
It's going to be worse. I'm sorry. Like, this idea that you remove talent and a team gets better, I don't give a fuck how disruptive Kyrie was. He won some of those games. There were stretches where they were winning games where it was like, Kyrie's the model athlete. He's the model leader. He's got the locker room humming. Those stories only came out when things got bad because that's how the world works.
Yeah. I mean, that's how the game plays.
And it's fine, and it's all well and good, but don't tell me that Kimba Walker's going to be a quote-unquote better fit for the offense Brad Stevens wants to run. If Brad Stevens can't run his offense around probably the best dribbling point guard in the NBA, that's a Brad Stevens shortcoming.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's future Hall of Fame coach Brad Stevens, too.
I thought he was current. I thought he was inducted last year. I'm sorry. By taking, what, LeBron the seven? What? By losing? He lost to LeBron James in seven games, and you guys told me he was a golden god.
I really had to pull up his wiki after you said the Hall of Fame thing to, like, refresh my memory.
Because you know what he did to get here? He won at Butler.
That's right.
And while that's a unique and very cool story, he maximized on his – he didn't do what the Buffalo coach did, Turner Gill did a couple years ago in football, and stayed like an idiot. He took the next check out and got the Boston job, which some people calling the White House of sports jobs, which, anyway.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's a whole thing. I don't want to talk about it. It's a tweet. It's, like, certain tweets stick in my craw for weeks. That's going to be one of them. Yeah, it's burned into my retinas. He gets this job that is attached to this guy, Danny Ainge, who's built a name on accumulating assets but doing nothing with them. And then when the time came to swing, he fucking missed. And while Kemba Walker's a great get, you're now banking on the next season of a bunch of disgruntled young guys who may not trust that coach as much as you want them to. Gordon Hayward coming off an injury and probably a bit of a locker room, but doesn't not a hugest fans of Gordon fucking Hayward. And Kemba Walker walking in saying, I didn't get paid this money to not shoot as much. We talk about chemistry problems that we're going to talk about in a second in Houston because, oh, buddy, Houston's a mess. But I think it's weird and, like, uneven that we don't discuss what's actually happening in Boston.
I mean, it's going to be a pretty big talking point next season. I mean,
no, it won't because Danny Ainge is the right friends in the media.
No, but you can't go from taking – you know, LeBron to seven or whatever with, you know, out your two best players to worse and worse records without, it's got to be discussed. I don't care how many friends he has. Like,
we shall see, my friend, because we're not doing better over there. Let's go to let's do it. Let's talk the big news. The Brooklyn Nets have signed DeAndre Jordan, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin motherfucking Durant, who I don't know the details yet. The details aren't still worked out because there's rumblings that it's going to be a sign-in trade with Golden State, which would be the best deal. But if he wants to burn that bridge and tell us what really happened with this Achilles, I hope he just takes the free agency offer and just signs.
Kawhi Leonard.
What was that?
I saw a banner that Horford.
Oh, no. He's a Sixer. Oh, shit. Okay. Let's do this. All right. Real-time podcasting, kids. All right, let's do this first. The Nets. They signed Durant. They signed DeAndre. They signed Kyrie. This is obviously a coup for the Nets. We don't know what's going to happen with DeAndre. I honestly forgot his name. The kid who snitched on Nick Young.
Russell.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell. Thank you. We don't know what's going to happen with him. I guess they're going to probably have to rescind his rights. He'll probably end up signing with the Lakers for less than a max. But this is not just a big get for Brooklyn, who is going to be another year of a playoff team while Kevin Durant rehabs, but also, bro, the egg on the face of the Knicks. Like, you can't talk about this story without talking about the Knicks. The Knicks, ESPN tweeted out in February, the Knicks have lost 17 straight, but their roster next year could look a lot different. They had a picture of Zion, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie all in Knicks jerseys. When you go 0-3, is there anything to call this but an unmitigated failure?
I mean, this is just impressive, really. A few weeks ago, they're on top of the world. They're going to get Zion. I mean, even before that, before KD got hurt, they're like, we're going to win championships. We're going to have our future paved out. And they're just coming up goose egg on everything.
Hold on. They did sign. Who did they sign?
Hodge Gibson?
Oof. Yeah.
And who is the other one?
Julius Randle for $63 million.
They couldn't get Zion, so they got Zion without
Hops. Without Hops. Okay, so the best part about this whole damn thing is this. The reporting by Ramona Shelbourne and Roche, The Knicks and owner Jim Dolan were not prepared to offer Kevin Durant a full max contract due to concerns over his recovery from the Achilles injury, league sources tell me and Woj. Knicks officials are in Los Angeles tonight meeting with free agents such as Julius Randle. Again, the back half of the reporting is borne out, and then Julius Randle just signed a three-year, $62 million deal with the Knicks. So I assume the front half is right as well, Mike. From a franchise that paid Eddie Curry, that paid Joakim Noah, that paid an uninsurable Amari Stoudemire.
Are they still paying Noah?
Probably. But now is when you say, no, let's be smart with our money and not pay the transitional, this generational talent.
Yes.
What are we doing? Obviously. Isn't he just Jim Dolan going full Jim Dolan?
Whoa, trust in Jim Dolan. He obviously knows
what here doing. We go.
Oh, man. I hope he gets out of town for a minute because that's going to be messy. Hope he doesn't cross Oakley anytime.
How does no one get fired for this? Like, I know it's Jim Dolan's fault, but I think at least it's show firing. To come up goose egg, when you've been plotting for the – you
this space, bro. Unbelievable.
All that space.
Like, not only did they
trade away Porzingis, trade away the unicorn, the dumbest nickname ever. They gave away what they called the unicorn. And all that space for Julius fucking Randle.
And for the other New York team to get everything.
Yo, that's the thing, is they're not even like, hold on, so I have a great clip here. We're going to play it right now. So I've been watching The Jump all night because, one, Rachel Nichols is like a professional idol of mine. But two, they do things like they drop him with Stephen A. Smith. And, well, he had takes on the deal.
It's bad enough that you don't have Kyrie and you don't have KD. But both of them went 20 minutes away to traffic on Atlantic Avenue to the Barclays Center instead of Madison Square Garden. And I'm looking at Sean Marks, who's done a fabulous job for the Nets. I'm looking at Kenny Atkinson, who's done a fabulous job. And let's not ignore Live Nation, because Yormak, you know, brother, the twin brothers. Remember, yep. his twin brother is running Live Nation. Don't think for one second they didn't have everything to do with what has been transpiring here with Kyrie and KD going to the Brooklyn Nets. But in the end, you're the New York Knicks, and not only did you lose out, but you lost out to Brooklyn.
So the question is, and this is not me trolling Knicks fans, this is a legitimate question. Realize who you are now? Like, this, I need you, this, I've, now I'm seeing spin from Knicks fans, I kind of agree with Dolan, you don't want to invest, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So the answer to your question is obviously no. I mean, come on.
Yeah, someone's like,
look, they talked themselves into like the most idealistic, picture perfect circumstance, and that was the reality, only for it to crumble in front of their eyes. You know, I mean, no, they need a, and who they get, Taj Gibson and Julius Randle. What is that going to do for their team?
I've seen Knicks fans already spitting it. Like, I wouldn't want to risk it on KD either, motherfucker. Hey, you know what? I saw a tweet that looked perfect for this. I didn't want to date Rihanna because I was afraid she wouldn't spend the time with all her other businesses.
Yeah,
it was never an option. Never an option. You know, Kevin, this is high fucking comedy. And the only reason I'm mad about this Knicks news, the only reason I'm a little perturbed, is because now no one's paying attention to Danny Ainge's ass right up the road.
I mean, a lot of people are getting a lot less attention when they've done some really stupid things.
Speaking of really stupid, looks like Bradley Beal and Jimmy Butler are going to Miami.
Wait. Really?
Jimmy Butler said he saw the pomp and circumstance they gave to D Wade and loved that affection from the city. Hey, bro, you ain't D Wade, man. What do you think this is? Jimmy, they don't love you like that, Jimmy.
I mean, they're about to.
That was one of the deals. So once you heard that rumor, certain deals that we also saw started to make a lot of sense. Tobias Harris got $180 million over 5 years from from Philly. Great decision by them. And once you see that, you know, he was going to come back and stay, that's obviously their partner with Jimmy Butler. I want everyone to note, last year, Clippers offered Tobias Harris.
Bradley Beal they offered him to play with Jimmy, and he couldn't handle playing with John Wall.
Hassan Whiteside.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a whole other thing.
But I think Hassan Whiteside wears Jimmy's number. Like, that's even funnier.
Jimmy's going to win all these fights.
Oh, no, the joy is not the outcome. The joy is the fight. It's like watching Tyson in his prime.
You know, he's going to have another practice where he takes the B team to assert his dominance.
Yo, man, no one in Philly's sad about Jimmy leaving. No players are like, wish he could come back, Jimmy. All the players, just silence. All I'm saying.
Let me talk about what Philly's done because, like,
They lost J.J. Redick to the Pelicans. That's one of those moves that I'm like, that makes you real curious because the Pelicans, prior to tonight, had the league's youngest roster. J.J. Redick gives them I'd say above average perimeter defender and a great spot up shooter that this team's going to need. The Pelicans are getting spicy immediately.
Great move for them and terrible for the Sixers. They need it.
Terrible for the Sixers.
Them getting him a couple years ago was great. It totally helped out Embiid and Simmons, and it's great for Zion. He's going to spread the floor. They get a good veteran presence. He seems to be good in the locker room and all that stuff. But, like, the Sixers have gotten Horford, and who else do they get? Someone else who doesn't, like, fill that gap? I don't know.
It's true.
But they think Simmons is going to learn to shoot in the offseason?
Speaking of swings and misses from people who value people assets over treating them like people, Houston was very open about dangling their starting three of their starting five in Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and P.J. Tucker for Jimmy Butler, and they're walking away with fucking nothing, Mike.
They're still there.
They still – you know, all these cats still hate each other.
Like, you can't – there are too many teams that have made really good moves and gotten better. You can't just stay the same. Now, that's not going to cut it, especially when you haven't gotten it done in recent years.
The Pacers land Malcolm Brogdon for $85 million. That's a great signing. Looks like
the Jazz.
Chris Middleton's going to stay with Milwaukee. I think that was one of the things where he's more valuable there than he is anywhere else in the open market. Great decision by them.
You got the third biggest he's behind, like, Westbrook and Curry contract-wise. That was a great move.
But also, we've hit the note now where the owner of the Bucks is saying, I refuse to pay luxury tax. So we'll see how they fill out this roster. I think it's going to be very interesting because it's not going to be as like – it's one of those things where you look at that roster, then you look at things like Golden State, where the Klay signing has not been announced. A little weird to me. And you wonder what's there now because, of course, Kevin's coming off the books, but you're going to pay Klay to max. You're going to max Klay out. So you're looking at probably having to max out or near max out DeAndre next year. Like – who's filling that roster up? Because that's the one thing about having young players all together. They all get old at the same time, too.
Yeah. You got to deal with the contract stuff at the same time.
Man, it is. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, Klay Thompson, that's still announced. Okay, so tell me what's happening with the Jazz. Hey, do this. Kevin Love might be going to Portland.
Ooh. And after Dame signed that 4-year, $196 million deal.
Yeah, like this is this is going to be interesting. Brook Lopez, staying with the Bucks. Garrett Temple with the Terry Rozier, 3-year, $58 million to the Hornets. J.J. Redick we covered. Chris Middleton we covered. Kristaps Porzingis got a 5-year, $158 million out of the Mavs. We'll see if that pans out. Harrison Barnes got a 4-year, $85 million to stay in Sacramento. Derrick Rose, 2 years, $15 million to join the Pistons. Giannis Valanciunas, 3 years, $45 million. Yeah, I know. 3 years, $45 million for Giannis Valanciunas to return to the Grizzlies. Gerald Green, 1 year deal to the Rockets. Terrence Ross, 4 years, $54 million to the Magic. Al-Farouq Aminu, $29 million, 3 years to the Magic. That's on here twice. Wait, what? So what did I miss at Utah?
I guess a lot of it's speculation at this point, but they got Conley already.
And yeah, that made them a deal. Like that, once they got Conley, they made them someone to pay attention to.
But I thought they were going to get like Bogdanovich.
Rodney Hood staying in Portland, 2 years, $16 million.
There was someone else, I forget. But I thought they were making moves. And I guess we'll see, but.
Man. Damari Carroll, 2 years, $13 million to the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard not taking any meetings today. He'll ramp up the process over the next couple of days. So this is actually really interesting because the Raptors, Clippers, and Lakers are all kind of playing this Kawhi stakes. And as you watch these like mid-level guys get snapped up, it kind of limits what the situation is going to be later this week for the team that does not get Kawhi. If you're Kawhi Leonard, you're someone who clearly values loyalty and values your people who trust you can trust with your body and your health. Who is most attracted to you, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, I think the scenario where he stays another year seems like the best bet. He's already gone through a year of Toronto, so he knows what he's getting. And if that's good enough for him, wait and then get more money.
That free that Supermax, yeah, later. I think
Because
you're right.
right now, I don't know. I mean, I think all the going home things can be exaggerated. We don't really
Not
know what
everyone
he
wants to
wants.
go home.
He's got championships, he's got finals MVP. He's had as good careers you can have. He's making decisions however he wants to make them, and it can go whatever way.
This whole day, where obviously things are going to develop overnight, this podcast is going to be outdated by the time I post tomorrow morning. That's fine. So by going to Brooklyn, if it's not a sign and trade with Golden State, he's leaving $60 million on the table.
Who is?
Durant.
60?
60.
Whew.
But also, you're also talking about a guy, and I'm not siding with James Dolan at all. Don't you dare to put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. You're talking about a guy who, when guys come back from the Achilles, I think it was Brandon Roy, was like, oh, he got became a better shooter. Kevin Durant can't become a better shooter.
Well,
A
Brandon
lot of
Roy's
those.
body fell apart. I think I heard something about there's some large percentage of people that don't come back from the Achilles, but if you can make it 2 years or something, you're fine and you'll
But the
be.
thing about it, his game is still predicated on that first step and the threat of that first step. He's able to get spacing on those shots because he's such a threat to take you off the dribble. If the
Yeah.
threat's gone, how does his game change?
I hear that, but he's one of the best players.
No, I'm not, and the thing is, I'm not saying he's going to fall to be like a mid-level. I'm saying he may not be the Kevin Durant we remember.
No.
He's still going to be great, but I think and that's one of the things that was happening in Golden State is we're seeing the tail end of these guys' prime.
I mean, it depends on so much. It depends on who he's playing with. He can adjust his game if he needs to adjust it. He's not gonna.
Look, I'm just mad at the Golden State medical staff for robbing me of watching Kevin Durant. How about that?
I'm just mad they took out two amazing players to watch in the span of, what, 10 minutes? I mean, geez.
And then their all-star point guard got outscored in the last game by Fred VanVleet. Anyway, we don't talk about that apparently. There's a lot more to talk about in the NBA. We're going to get to it later this week, hopefully. We're going to talk about the fact that, well, I'm not going to tease any more podcast music. There's a lot of stuff coming out. Mike, thank you for coming on. Really do appreciate it. Free agency in the middle of the night, in the middle of the afternoon. Who knew how good it could be? If you're listening to this, you should also listen to other podcasts that I'm on. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. review will be up by the time you listen to this. We guest starring Rod and Karen from the Black Eye Tips. Also, we've got going up our character corner. The most recent one's going to be taking us through issue 200 of Uncanny X-Men as we take the second part of Chris Claremont's run, taking you through the trial of Magneto. And there'll be a lot more coming up this summer because of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're getting a lot more content that they normally would. I'll be going on vacation, but we'll have some backed up episode dropping then. And I know Chris has San Diego Comic-Con, so that mailbag in July is going to be a beast. Make sure you get your emails in as soon as possible so we can answer them as completely as possible. Mike, do you have any last thoughts on free agency so far?
LOL Knicks.
Hashtag Knicks Tape. See you guys next week.